see all of you. We had a great prayer time this morning. So, I'm already swollen, so this is great. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that your spirit lives on the inside of us. The train of your robe fills the temple. I thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Here we go.
Says, I don't care what the world tries to throw at us. I don't care. It's all lies. We are free indeed through Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's something to be shouted about. That's something to be excited about. Amen?
Amen.
It's His word. It's His truth. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? Blessed and highly favored?
Yes.
Asleep or awake? All right, awake. I'll try not to put you to sleep then. Hey, I just want to welcome you. I want to say thank you so much for coming and be a part of something that's going to be great, because anytime God's around, it's great. It's good. Amen? So today, as we focus on that truth and as we give Him praise, be ready to be changed and transformed. Be ready for Him to grab a hold of you and say, I love you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you today. We honor you and we worship you. God, we put every feeling aside, every circumstance, every question, every challenge, we put it aside in this moment and we focus on you, the great I am. We focus on who you are and that we are yours this morning. Father, we thank you that we can in that celebrate and praise and kick the enemy in the teeth because we've been given the victory in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it. We worship you. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship today.
Hallelujah. Oh yes, you are good, you are good, you are good to me. Hallelujah.
Just when I'm feeling okay, just when everything goes my way, God is good all the time. Lord, help us to look at the right, truthful things. I thank you that you help us to look correctly. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy that follows me all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you that the train of your robe fills the temple, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence filling us up, residing on the inside of us. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. I thank you that I hear the voice of the great shepherd and the voice of a stranger I won't follow. I won't give ear to it. But we come close to the shepherd this morning. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Try to stop your love, and you will wage a war. Try to take the very thing you gave your life for. You would come running, tear down every wall, and all the while you're shouting, my love, you're worth it all. God, you pursue.
Power and glory, unstoppable love that never.
try to stop your love, and you would wage a war. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your love. Can we thank him? Lord, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. We thank you that you pursued us. We thank you that you are pursuing those that we have brought before the throne of God. That you are pursuing them with power, with love, with passion and mercy. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that there's no sin, no shame, no past, no pain, no height, no depth, no fear, no death that can separate us from the love of God. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Can you just begin to tell them the things you're thankful for? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We thank you. Just tell them. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know, I can't get off of this. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. Are you telling him what you're thankful for? It's just between you and him. Just talk to him. We need to learn how to do this outside of church. He's your Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday also. Right? And my Lord. What are we thankful for? Lord, I thank you. Just tell him. He wants to hear what you have to say. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Lord, I thank you that you loved me first. I thank you that there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Lord, I thank you that my children will call you Lord and Savior all the days of their lives. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that goodness and mercy follows me. I thank you that you've called us to have a life abundantly because we know you. Because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I thank you that my name is written in your book. Lord, I thank you. I come into your presence with thanksgiving. There's so much to be thankful for. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I can smell. I thank you that I can see today. today. I thank you that I can feel. I thank you that I can taste. There's something to be thankful for. I thank you that I can feel. Even though sometimes I feel painful emotions, but I thank you that I can feel joy and I can feel love. And I thank you that I can feel peace and experience the presence of the Lord. Just begin to thank Him. Just thank Him. I remember a story that Grandpa had told us when this was years ago. He had seven kids. He had eight kids. One is in heaven. He has eight kids. Let me rephrase that. One is in heaven. But I remember him saying, I see you back there, that there was a time where he was doing ministry. He was the pastor of the church. And, you know, it's probably not a good thing when the pastor doesn't want to come to church. Experience that. And he said, I am putting this chair in the middle of my living room. Everybody was gone. And he sat down and he said, God, I thank you for my family. He wasn't feeling it. God, I thank you that I have a house to live in. Wasn't feeling it, but he said it. Lord, I thank you that we have electricity. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed me to live on a lake. Lord, I thank you for the love of God. And he began, I don't know how many hours he sat there, but by the time he was done, he said, I'm pretty sure the neighbors could hear me. Because thankfulness came over him in a real tangible way, and he began shouting all of the things he was thankful for. Things down to, I thank you for lotion toilet paper, Tracy. There are so many things to be thankful for. Have you gone out at night and looked up and saw, have you looked and seen the stars? They're praising him. All of creation is praising him. The trees sway to the breeze. And all I see is, God, you are good. All of creation is praising him. We get to join in and actually give words to the thanksgiving that we feel, to the praise that we want to say. And sometimes we don't have words and we just say, ah! And you give a little, because you just don't have words. But your heart wants to just glorify and radiate the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you, 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 we thank you. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Hallelujah. I don't have to be down. I just have to look up and see the salvation. My salvation is Jesus. The Creator has sent Jesus. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. That all of my sin was put upon him. And he endured the cross for me. He died and he rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. I thank you, Lord. Guys, this is why we get together to worship. This is why you worship in your car. This is why you worship in your kayak. This is why you worship wherever you're at, in your art studio, in the nursing home. This is why we worship, because he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. And I could keep saying it for the rest of the day and it wouldn't be enough worthies. I don't got enough breath. I don't got enough breath. Whew. Sorry about that, English teacher. I think I failed that one. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Can you just feel it rising? There's thankfulness. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You can say it any time, all the time. Hallelujah. Father of creation, I thank you that I can sing. Unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the Righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, but we seek first you. We seek first you. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
you, Father. God, we praise you. We lift you up. God, you are great. You are mighty. God, I thank you. Your word tells us that no matter how we feel, we praise you. But Father, we know that the answer to every storm is praising you, seeking you. So Father, we thank you and we praise you in this place, in this time, in this moment, right now. We worship you, God. We worship you. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you. Praise you. I'm going to ask you to say this with me. I praise you, Lord.
I praise you, Lord.
You are great and you are good. I praise you, Lord. Everybody in this room felt like declaring that. Even though it's absolutely true, in our heart, feelings get in the way. We don't feel like that. And this is where it's so important to press in beyond the feeling and the circumstance, because there's no breakthrough in the muck. There's always breakthrough in His presence. And the Bible clearly says that His presence comes when the praises of His people are released. Is that right? That makes sense, right? So if you need, if you're like, oh, I'm feeling heavy, praise. You're like, wait, that's opposite. That's like, that's not like, isn't that a fashion faux pas? No, that's what the world would say. Be sad and sorrowful and woe is me. God says, no, get out of that stuff. I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm your God. So praise His name. We praise His name. You want to find out how to get out of any challenge? Praise His name. Because it changes here to the Spirit of God in here. And then we can see God's perspective, the supernatural that He is in us, that He deposited His power in us. But if we're going to stay natural, we're going to feel natural. But if we tap into the supernatural, which we all have in Christ because He deposited His power in us, when we tap into that, now we can go above, like God is above, beyond what we can ask or imagine. Guess what? He says we can step up to that level with Him. Not because we're amazing, but because He is. And so we ought to lift up our praise. Not for the storm, not for the problem, not for the circumstance, but because God is, even though the storm and the circumstance and the challenge, that He will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil because He is with us. Amen? So that's why we praise Him. We're not trying to convince anything. We're just declaring and coming into agreement with what God said and is already. It's not fake. I know. I've had this. You're just pretending. No, I'm not pretending. I'm standing on the Word of God and His truths. And I know that's the only thing that's going to get me through anything. Because all, I think all of us before Christ, we tried the other way. Amen?
Yes.
We're praising the Lord today. We're praising His name today. I don't feel like it. Cool. Even better. Bring a sacrifice of praise then. Amen? Amen? Let the glory fall in this room.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your presence rest in this place. As we gather to seek your face.
Come on, praise Him this morning. Come on.
Let your
every bondage.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to seek your face.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom.
God, we thank you that your glory fills this room and this fills this temple that is our bodies. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds align with that truth and that we will stomp the devil in the head and remind him that he's a liar and that you are a truther in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that you are in the room. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, say amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's good. Amen. He's good. Come on, he's still good. You are good, God. You are awesome, God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, turn to your neighbor, say, God's so good. And then tell your other neighbor, say, you look good. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, take another minute and greet each other. We want to welcome each other and love on each other.
It's all them people from Emory, isn't it?
Oh, she's ready to go.
Good morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I thought about it this way. You know, we know that it's not about how much, you know, because we know the story of the woman who gave the 2 coins. And it's like, so I thought about it. I go, what if it's, you buy the most expensive whatever, corn seed. You know, you have the money to do it, but all you do is you dump it on the ground. Or if you take, you know, so someone with, say, something of a bad attitude toward giving. Yeah, I gave my amount, throws it, you know? Or what if the person who has the small amount of seeds needs them to grow, inexpensive seeds, however you want to look at it, but, you know, has the heart of servitude, is like, this has been, these seeds have been given to me, I want them to grow. And with that attitude, you get a much better harvest. So I think maybe when we look at, you know, what is it, why is it so important to be cheerful and the amount is not important? Well, think of it that way. Yeah. You know, the way you do something is more important than what you did or the amount. Yeah. You know, it's like, just like that. I bought enough lawn seed to do an acre and I dumped it in a pile, you know, or someone who takes the time and spreads it. I love it. Okay. I'm just, wow. I was still making it up as we went. So, okay, with that, according to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotion and advancement, supernatural favor, and an abundance to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Father, we just thank you for teaching us the importance of the heart more than the act itself, Lord. That it's that you want us to be generous to people because we care about them, not just because we can, but because you'd want us to take a true interest in who we're investing in or what we're investing in, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that principle, and we thank you for your patience as you work on us, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
family, there will be no midweek link this coming Wednesday.
No midweek link. We are starting June 1st, our campfire gathering. So come on June 1st to Word of Life Family Church. Invite your friends. We are going to have an awesome time around the campfire with some fellowship and fun. The time will be from 6 to 8 o'clock. So it's going to be a little earlier than our normal 6:30. 6 o'clock. And please bring lawn chairs. We need you to bring lawn chairs so you have a place to sit. Unless you want to stand, then that's okay too. So come to Word of Life Family Church. We will be having ice cream. So that's going to be our little refreshment for the night, is ice cream, homemade ice cream at that. So come on June 1st. Life Christian School will be having a graduation ceremony on May 26th at 6:30. We will be honoring our graduate, Landon Wojcik. So come and enjoy the celebration with us. We will have refreshments afterwards. We would love to have you all there. Next Sunday, May 29th, will be graduation Sunday. We will be celebrating our graduates, Allison Kulwicki, Mara Mulligan, Serena Franson, Savannah Chuzzles, and Landon Wojcik. So come and celebrate with us. We will have an awesome slideshow of our graduates next Sunday.
Amen. Come on, give our seniors a hand. Woo! We're blessed to have some awesome seniors, and of course, I want to reiterate, if you are available around on Thursday for our Life Christian School graduation, we're excited for that, and everybody's invited to be a part of that, so excited about that. Hey, let's do this real quickly. I want to go ahead, and I want the kids to have an opportunity to get to class, so if the kids are here and you'd like to come up, we want to come up here. We want to pray with you and over you before you go to class. So kids, come on up, pile up. We want to see all of your good-looking faces. And give them a hand as they come so they know that they're loved and accepted. Kids are smiling. We're smiling. Good job, Victor. All right. Wow. We are blessed, huh? All right, reach out your hand as we pray a blessing over these awesome children. Father, we thank you for these kids. We are blessed by them. And Father, we know not only are we blessed by them, but we know that you have called them, you've equipped them, you've anointed them, you've appointed them, Father, that they are mighty warriors for you. That's who, what you say about them, Father, that they are mighty warriors. And so we declare that with them. We come in agreement with that truth. Father, I thank you that a hedge of protection is around them, that your angels are out about there protecting them and keeping them. And I thank you they have a voice, and their voice is of you, Father. Father, we just thank you for it. We just pray for our teachers as they teach them. And Father, we just thank you for all of the parents represented here as well, that you give them supernatural wisdom and supernatural patience. And we thank you, Father, for it. We love you. We praise you. You are awesome. And we thank you for our kids. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give our kids a hand. Love you, kids. You are awesome. You can go to class. Miss Barbie, you help everybody know which way to go. Thank you. I love it. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody doing well? Getting better, better, right? Right. Amen. Well, it's excited to be here. Oh, for those of you that don't know, I just want to make sure and point this out. I am the pastor, and my name is, I've been gone for a couple weeks, and so I didn't leave, but we, of course, been walking through the family and all of that, so I want to say thanks for the opportunity to unplug a little bit and to kind of to draw with our family, and it was a great opportunity to do that. Of course, we lost an amazing lady. I say we lost. We didn't lose anything. She graduated, and I'm a little jealous. But we also know that she's in a great place. And then how do you know that it's a weird thing, this weird thing, because all the family comes, and so there's some kind of celebration that happens, just everyone coming together. So we had that opportunity. So thank you for allowing us to do that and walk through that. And by the way, we're still walking through that. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concern. Thank you that you are praying prayers of faith over us. We don't want you, none of us want us to feel sorry for us. We want you to celebrate with us the truth of where Miss Betty is. Amen? Amen. So remind yourselves of that and come in with and draw in with that. And but she's an amazing lady. She leaves a hole here, but she's smiling and dancing and having a good time. So that's the picture that we keep in our hearts and our minds. Amen? Right? So again, I want to say thank you so much. If you're new here, I'm sorry to, you know, you're like, ooh, that was kind of heavy. But we're family, and we're very much a family. And so we wanted to make sure that you all knew how much we appreciate the prayers and the food and the cards and all of those things, and make sure you understand. The only problem with that, Marty and I were talking about, we've both gained some weight from all of this great vittles that you guys have been sharing with us. But we're not complaining, but our except for our pant size is complaining. But never, that's here nor there, right? So anyway, I just want to say thank you so much. So let's go ahead and get back into 3 weeks ago, I think now, I started a series that I want to jump right back into. I think it's important, and dare I say it was important to restart it again because, you know, after almost 13 years of being pastor here, today was a little, if I'm being honest, I had a little bit of fear. Don't hate me. Don't think I'm a bad person. About establishing and jumping back on stage again after walking through a situation. I think you can all relate where you have a difficulty, something's going on, and it's kind of difficult to go to that next, to kind of move on and to move forward. And so for the first time in a long time, there certainly was this opportunity for this feeling of fear to kind of come over. But I'm so thankful that you're all smiling and helping me feel comfortable today and as we push through it. But I want it also to be an example to show you that even in the midst of challenge and difficulty, listen, we can be fearless. And that's really what we're talking about. And what I want you to understand today as we walk through this is that we're not saying don't have fear. We're saying don't let fear rule us. We're going to experience fear. We're going to experience the emotion and the feeling of fear. Please don't misunderstand if you're like, oh man, I had this thought, feeling, I was nervous that, oh, I'm a bummer. No, you're normal. You're human. Sorry. Hallelujah. But understand that the fear that's trying to take over is not from God. And he doesn't want you to be over-consumed with that, but it isn't a beautiful thing. Feelings are wonderful. I've said this so many times. It's a good thing. With feelings, when we start feeling fear, it's a good barometer to say, uh-oh, I need to get it back into the presence of the Father. I need to check because something's trying to draw me back. I need to get back in and press into his presence. Amen? So when we talk about being fearless, that's really what we're saying. Not fearless, but fearing less every single day. And we can do it as long as we're walking side by side, hand in hand with the Father. Can I get an amen? Because that was pretty good. That blessed me. Toot my own horn here. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. So we're resuming back this series. We're getting back, jumping back in. And regardless, I think all of us experience fear or the opportunity of fear, regardless of how many times we win in life, regardless of how many good things go on, fear seems to still be a constant challenge, a battle, if you will, on this side of the world, on this side of earth, rather. And no matter how many times it comes, it just seems like it keeps coming back and forth or coming after us and after and after us. I want to share a story. It's really a joke. I'm telling you out front so that you can just pretend like it's funny when I share it. Okay, you ready? So there's a story about a boxer who was being pummeled in the ring, okay, by his opponent. I mean, blow after blow, his adversary was leaving him with a bloody nose, swollen eyes, knocked out teeth, and in basically an enormous amount of pain. The injury, the injured boxer's trainer was trying to encourage the man between rounds. He's like, he kept telling him, "Hey, you're doing great, Butch. Keep it going. You've got him right where you want him. You're really tiring him out. That bum is barely even touching you." To which the boxer responded, "Then you better keep your eye on that referee, because somebody is slaughtering me here." Thank you. Thank you for that courtesy laugh. And I wonder if fear is not like that. It was like, Pastor says, "Yeah, we're going, we're good. The Bible says, yeah, it's good, good. But why do I feel like I'm being pummeled here?" Amen. There is that truth, and we can't ignore it. But thank be to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it does not establish who we are or whose we are, and we can rise above it. Amen. And so maybe poor Butch there, you know, that's losing the fight in that realm can't handle it. But guess what? We can, because we win the fight. I read the end of the Bible and it says we win. Yeah. Amen? Doesn't mean that we're not going to walk through stuff. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have to fight. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the fight. The fight that we battle. The fight of fear that comes up when it tries to come up, that we can see, we can recognize, and we can tell it where to go. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's just go before the Father today as we seek His face. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You. God, we thank You for being God, for being a living God. God, we thank You for being all-powerful and almighty. We thank You, Father, for God, not only that's sovereign and mighty, but is loving, in that You've revealed and You've shown and You've given an opportunity to have relationship with You. Father, we dive into that relationship today, and we see the benefit of that if we can conquer fear when it tries to tackle us, through Your word, through Your promise, and of course, only through Jesus. Father, I ask that this morning as we talk and we share this truth, that Father, what is shared today is something from You alone. I ask You, Father, to disconnect from my own understanding, but we would connect to Your rhema word and have an aha moment of Your Spirit and Your power in our hearts and our minds today. God, help us that we continue to seek through the truths to pull that gem, to pull that jewel that You are and that You want for us. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. We love You and we praise You. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Our foundational scripture, of course, is found in 2 Timothy. It's probably the hoorah of all fear messages or lack of fear messages. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So I like to establish that so we understand, okay? And we can get into the context of it, but I want you to understand this. I want you to understand the truth that fear, the fear that tries to paralyze us, the fear, and maybe I should make sure that I'm checking this out right so we make sure. When I'm talking about fear, am I still on? All of a sudden it got quiet. Maybe it's just my ears. Okay. Anyway. When I talk about fear... Hey, everybody. Welcome. When I talk about fear, what I'm really talking... I'm not talking about snakes and bugs and all that. Though I don't like that either. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Good. So I'm in like good company. But what I am talking about, when we talk about fear, we're talking about the thoughts of the enemy, the things that try to steal our joy, our peace. And again, I'm not saying that we're not going to experience these things and have these feelings, but greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And so I want you to understand that as we look at fear in the context of what we're talking about, the fear that we all know that has paralyzed us at times, that the fear that would stop us from trying to seek the Father, the fear from what ifs, because there's a lot of things that come against us that I don't know really take us out except for what we think they might take us out. Like there's this like thought process of, oh no, I hope this, what if this, and what if this, and what if that. And all of the while, the enemy's like, I got him. And what happens in those thought processes, when we live in that and we let that rule in us, then we'll begin to let the enemy doesn't have to defeat us. We'll take ourselves right out of the game. Because we're so concerned, like, what if, and what if, and what if, and what if. And yes, we will see failures and heartaches and challenges and promises. That's why God says so many times, over and over and over again, 365 times, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Because I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to walk with you. And so when we talk about fear, when we're looking at fear, I'm trying to tell you that that kind of fear, that kind of fear that brings us and brings us to close in, that fear is from the enemy and it's not truth. It's a facade. It's an image that the enemy tries to put up so that we'll pull ourselves out of the game, or the fight, if you will. Can somebody say amen? So like I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I'll kind of get paint a picture a little bit. It's just like a magician. A magician's tricks or his illusions are that. They're illusions. They're not truth. There's no one being sawed in half and then come back together again. It's illusion. There's no one that like, whoop, they're gone. It's not true. There's no such thing. But the enemy will like that magician, the enemy will try to make something that's not true look true. And the enemy, like a magician, will try to manipulate our perception, our understanding. And this is the schemes of the enemy. Now, if you're a magician, I'm sorry. I'm not telling you that you're the devil or anything. I'm just saying that the image, the understanding of that is that it's like what the enemy does to us. See, the Bible's clear. The Word of God is truth, and He says we're more than conquerors, that we're going to make it through. When Jesus told His disciples when they got into the boat, He said, we're going to the other side. Jesus meant we're going to the other side. But there was a fear that came up. There was a storm. There was a challenge that came up. But it didn't change what God said or what Jesus had declared. The truth was still they were going to get from one side to the next. But they did face this obstacle, this facade that was trying to tell it that it was more powerful than what Jesus had said was going to happen. Are you following me today? You understand that that's how fear works. The end of the story, in case you don't know, they got to the other side. In fact, Jesus spoke to that thing and said, peace, be still. He spoke to it and said, it's gone. And so guess what? You have that same authority in Christ Jesus to be able to do that. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Long before we get out of the locker room, we're talking about fighting. Everybody put your dukes up. Is this right, Pastor? Is this how you do it? I'm a lefty, so I kind of lead with my... Is that how I'm supposed to do it? Okay, good. Thank you. So I want everyone to put your dukes up. Because this is what we need to do. We need to remind ourselves that through the power and the promise of God, we're in a fight. But we're going to win the fight. Isn't it cool to know I'm going to win the fight before I get in the ring? Amen? Amen? That's right. And so that's what really God was saying. And so before we get in the ring... How many know that there's a locker room time? There's a time in the locker room before you go actually to fight where a coach or someone would help kind of to build you up and to get you prepared for what you're about to fight. They often will watch film, watch a fighter's previous fights, and kind of get some idea. And so that's what I'm really hoping to do. We're going to back up a little bit in this series, and I want to hopefully give you some locker room information today, to kind of help encourage us, to kind of get us back to what God is calling us. So we're calling today's series, or the message today, the fight. Somebody say the fight. All right, so we're ready. We got our dukes up. We ready? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's what God's call is. And it's through Christ, of course, that we can fight. Amen? And we can understand and see that. All right. So here is the passage. I need you to turn to Ephesians. If you have your Bibles or electronic devices, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to be our context, main passage for today. It's only the references there, so you have to look it up. And I did that on purpose because I want you to lay eyes on this. I need you to highlight it and circle it in your Bible and underline it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 13. I'm going to wait until I hear some shuffling of pages so I know we're getting there, because I want us to make sure we're able to do that. Chapter 6, Ephesians. We're going to start in verse 10 and look at verse 13. Finally, somebody said, finally. Some of you are saying, finally, Pastor's reading this thing. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, and in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. I want to read just verse 12 in the Message translation. It's a commentary kind of translation, but I appreciate how it reads this. It kind of helps me feel a little pumped up. It says, this is no afternoon athletic contest we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. So understand the intensity of the fight that we're talking about today. And you're like, well, that's not very encouraging. I need you to be fully aware of the onslaught of the enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So that we can take that enemy and say, all right, come on, I got you. Right? We can't be wimpy like, oh, I hope it's going to be okay. I don't think there's really a fight. There is a fight that we're going to fight. But we've been given what we need to be given to be victorious. Amen? And so we got to get this. We got to understand this. The spirit world is very real. And the fight that we're talking about is in the spiritual realm. In fact, I'm going to go so bold to say it's more real than the world. Even though we don't feel it or we don't think it, it's truth. God is a spirit being. God is spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is all of that. And it existed before earth was created, before natural was developed. God was spirit, and the spirit in the heavenlies. And he placed his spirit on the inside of each one of us. Now, I hope I'm pumping you up, because I want you to grasp this. And we are first and foremost, of course, I want you to know this, because I need us to understand this first and foremost, because of the spirit of life that he gives us so we can have breath, is that we were spirit being first. So that's the real us. Now some of you are like, what? We'll get it. It's okay. And of course, when I talk about the spiritual realm, Hollywood does a good job of glamorizing and depicting this cosmic force, this clash is often between good and evil, as if it's equal. Talk about a facade. Talk about a lie of the enemy. Talk about a non-truth. And often it glamorizes the power and the strength of the, dare I say, the dark side. But every time, light dispels darkness. Every time. That means, without a shadow of a doubt, that darkness has to flee at light. And light always kicks out darkness. So I'm not the smartest individual in the world, but what I figured out is that must mean that light is much more powerful than darkness. Amen? voila. Let's close. No, I'm just kidding. Because we could stop there and get that if we just got that alone. But wait, there's more. That wasn't an advertisement to it. Okay. I want to share with you what the reality of the Spirit is a little bit in the world, spirit world, and the battle we're fighting. We can look at Scripture and find some insights to this. The Bible tells us of a time in Daniel, in the book of Daniel. And Daniel himself was praying to God, but was not receiving an answer to his prayers. Anyone ever felt that way before? Okay. All right. So he's not receiving an answer to his prayers, and an angel came to him and explained the delay in terms of spiritual warfare. And I want us to get this. I want us to grasp this. Remember, the Spirit is more real than the world itself. And understand that in Daniel chapter 10, this is what it says, verse 12 and 13. It says, "And then he said, don't be afraid." I love it because the angel came to Daniel. "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day," listen, "since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven." Again, we could just rest in that, and that would really change a lot of our lives if we got the full revelation. The very first day, the very first time, it was heard. He says, "I have come in answer to your prayers. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." Now, this sounds really soft and easy, like, "Oh, I left him." No, what it's saying is I kicked him in the tail and got him out of, and I superseded it by the power of God over this thing. And so I'm here to share the truth. This is the picture of the power of God in the spiritual realm that you have access to as a believer. Oh man, I thought that was going to go over much better, because I was like, "Woo!" in my office. I was like, "Yeah!" I could hear the Rocky thing. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I was like, "Ding, ding, ding." You know, it's one. All right, maybe that was just in my head. Yeah? It's okay. But there's some awesome truth there. Some amazing things. And so let's look at the handout. If you have your handout, let's look at some of these points that we're going to look at today. We're winning the fight of fear in our life. Number one, this is the number one we have to remember. Number one is this: remember where your strength comes from. You got to remember where your strength comes from. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power," or in the power of his might. Don't go fight a battle without him. Let me say that again. Don't go and fight the battle without him. We're not strong enough. Not in our own right. Not in our own power. Let me say it this way. We're not in the fight in our own power, in our own strength. We're fighting according to God's strength and his ability. Isaiah 40 says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says it best. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insult and hardship and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. That's not human understanding. That's spiritual truths. When I'm weak and I call to the Father, I'm like an eagle soaring above it. Not experiencing it, but not being affected by it. Does that make sense? The second one, we'll jump right in. Second one is this. The second point is this. Listen, we got to remember who our opponent is. Now, I elaborated, I talked about this a little bit already. Remember who your opponent is and know his tactics. Now, I already said this. Darkness is weaker than light, right? And I need us to know, because if we're not thinking human and we're thinking spiritual, we need to do this when it comes to our opponents. Because it's so easy when we're fighting this fight and we're getting in it, it's so easy to put a face to somebody. And the enemy loves it when we accuse others of what he's doing in our life. Listen, God bless you, but your wife is not your enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. Your boss, your coworker is not your enemy. Your political stance is not, and you're against, is not your enemy. Listen, we have an enemy, yes, but it's not natural. We have an enemy that puts on a facade in front of others to make us point blame so we don't call against what he's doing. And now we're pointing fingers at people rather than the source of the problem. And when we do that, listen, if I'm in a fight, Pastor, when you're in a fight and you have an opponent in front of you and you start punching the side of the ring, are you going to win that fight?
No.
You're supposed to say no. It's okay. He didn't hear me well. If my opponent's like getting ready to hit me and I'm like, all right, I got you, and I start swinging this way and he's going boom, boom, boom. Oh, that hurt. And that's sometimes what we do. I know it sounds funny, but we do that when we start blaming other people. We start looking at other people as the problem. When all of the long, it's the enemy, he's the one, and the Bible says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the enemy that comes. It's not the person. And so now, listen, if we're not fighting the right opponent, we're not going to win the fight. Amen? You catching it? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not the people. The wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I was almost going to put somebody's name in there. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's not the people, it's the enemy.
That's right.
And again, why is this important? Because we're fighting a fight that's not getting anywhere because we're looking at the wrong opponent. The Greek word for wiles is the word methode, and it means cunning or arts or deceit or trickery. So the wiles enemy is a cheat. He's a cheater. Cheater, cheater, liar, liar, pants on fire kind of thing. And you're like, well, why do you keep saying? Because it's not real. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's a fake. It's a facade. It's something to try to give us the perception of something that's not truth. Deceits, deductions, and lies are all the powers of the enemy. It's a punch. It's a constant punch of the enemy, but it's withstandable. Because all we have to do is turn and face the right opponent. And light dispels darkness. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, not people, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That's another important part. We're not alone on this thing. And the enemy, he's out to deceive people into thinking that his way, the enemy, is stronger or bigger than God, which is a lie. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number three is remember who's in your corner. So we know that the right opponent, now we know who's backing us up. And Dara said, what's the word say? He's ahead of us, he's behind us, he's before us, he's beneath us. Remember who's in your corner. It's kind of like if you imagine, listen, we're not in this fight alone. It's kind of like a tag team, and God's cool, and he's like, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. But we need to tag him in. I grew up in the 80s, had the mullet, looking good. And that was the time, thank you, honey. She agreed with me. I don't care what y'all think. But there was a time when the WWE, was that it? WWF, that's what that back in the, yeah. And there was Hulk Hogan, and there was Andre the Giant, and there was all of these. And they would have these, I know wrestling's not real, by the way, I just say. But they would have these matches, and they would team up. Sometimes you team up, you're like, I never thought these people would team up. And it was so funny because they would team up, and there were times when the enemy would try to hold them back so that they couldn't tag their help. And they're like getting smashed and folded in half and all of this stuff. And they're like, and I think sometimes, I almost think God's like, can you, come on, tag me in. Remember whose power we get to fight with and in. Remember the authority of who God is in us and for us. Amen? So tag him in. Don't wait. Don't wait to tag him in until you're busted and broken, depressed. Tag him in. I kept thinking, the whole time they're doing this, I'm like, you know, before you were thrown over the ropes three times, it would have been a good idea to hit your partner to come on in. And I think we do that sometimes. The joke, well, let's come to prayer now. When that's our number one weapon. That's our number one tool. That we have direct connection with the Father. And all I got to do is say, God, he's like, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you. I'm ready to fight your battle. Amen? So we got to remember who's in our corner. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, God disarms the principalities and the powers that were raged against us and made a bold display, a public example of them in triumphing over him and in the cross. You hear that? So God not only going to help you, he's going to make a public example of the enemy for others to see how big and how awesome he is. Amen? Jesus is in our corner. We're not fighting alone. He's our advocate. 1 John 2 says, Dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is our intercessor. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the last section of that says, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Guess what? That's you. You're them as a believer. He's tag him in. Let's tag him in. He's on our corner. Amen? Amen. All right, number four, because we're getting tired. The last one here is this. Not only are we tagging him in because we know he's in there. Listen, you've already been tagged. Remember who's been tagged the winner. You've already been tagged the winner in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. 1 John 4, 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you, somebody say me, is greater than the one that's in the world. Amen? John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We overcome. Remember, he's tagged you with Christ's name as the winner of this thing. It's good to know when you go into the fight, wait, I'm already the winner? All right, cool. I don't have to wonder, man, I hope I make it. We know we make it. I said, we know we make it. Because God said it. And I said before, he's the truther. Sorry. Always like to have Heather cringe the grammar. The only way a spiritual power can defeat us as a believer is if we cave, quit, or give up. And that's what fear is trying to do. That's exactly what we get back to the fear. That's exactly what fear is for. It's like he throws it out there. And it's just, imagine, he throws it out there and he tries to make it look like a big mountain, but in reality it's just a little rope. We can drive right over it. But the facade is, listen, I can't get past that thing. And so we quit. And so the enemy's like, man, that was easy. All I did was throw a little fear. All I did was throw a little thought of what ifs and challenges. And we let the enemy win. We let him win a fight that we've already been declared as we are the winners. Doesn't that just make you mad? Say, what, devil? You are such a punk. This is the truth of God's word for us. Fear is a facade for us to pull ourselves out of the game. But I got a good news for you. God's in our corner, cheering us on. Jesus already came. His power already resides in us. We don't have to go get anything. We've gotten all we're going to get. And it's more powerful than we even understand at times. We are able, because of Christ Jesus, to do more than we can ask or imagine. He's able to do that in us, through us, and for us. Amen? You're ready for the fight, right? Amen? Let's stand up. Let's close with that. In case you didn't hear it today, God says you are the winner. In case you didn't hear it, God said you are the winner. Now, I know. You know, Sunday mornings are easy to feel like because we're together, drawing, and like, yeah, I'm the winner. Then Monday morning, 5 a.m., oh, I'm the winner. I get it. But you're still the winner. And I'm so thankful that God's not responsive or is not held back by the way we feel. And there's this amazing key that we've been talking about all day today that we can just say, all right, God, I'm going, even though I don't feel it. He's like, I've been waiting for you to tag me in because I didn't want you to be doing this alone. I wanted to walk with you. I wanted to hold your hand. I wanted to carry you if I have to. I want to be your God. I want to be your Abba Daddy. I want to be the one that you can call on and trust in because I can handle it and I created you for that purpose. Don't go it alone. Invite me. You are a winner in me. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Father, that though there is a fight, there is a battle, You've given the keys. You've given us the 1-2 punch, the knockout round. It's your name. It's your authority. It's the power and presence of God that's been deposited in us. It's through Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We're more than equipped. God, we thank you for that. We know it wasn't by our merit. It was truly by your love. God, we thank you for that truth. And God, we thank you for that truth by living a lifestyle worthy of it. Day by day, walking in this truth, fighting against the enemy, standing firm. God, I thank you that all the while you help even strengthen us in those things, in those moments. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Isn't God good? Amen? Come on, let's give him praise. Amen. It's good to be in the ring with God. Amen. Remember that this week. Give the devil a black eye this week. Maybe it's just a praise Jesus. God will take it. It's like, I felt that touch. Let's go. Amen. Amen. You guys are a blessing. I can't wait to see what you conquer and overcome this week. I declare that over you in Jesus' name. Because of who you are and whose you are. Yes. Call on the name of Jesus. Amen? Can I pray a blessing over you before we go? Father, in the name that's above every name, I thank you, Father, for this section and this section and this section. Father, in this section, I thank you that, Father, you've called them and you've equipped them. God, I thank you for the opportunity to just share what your word already says. You're good. And so, Father, it's in that truth that now we declare that no evil shall befall, no plague come nigh our dwelling, that you send your angels to take charge of us, keep us, protect us, and all that we are, in all that we do. God, I thank you that because of you, we're the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are victorious in you. So, Father, we remind ourselves of that. We stay in your presence. So we see it, we feel it, we taste it, we touch it. I pray that we all would do that this week in Jesus' name. That we'd all stay in your presence and in everything we are, knowing full well that you are right with us every step of the way. Father, we love you. We praise you. And Father, I thank you. Your word says we're blessed when we come out and we are blessed when we go out. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. One more time, give him praise. He's awesome. He's good. Amen. 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 Come celebrate with us on Thursday with Landon's graduation. Next Sunday, don't forget, we'll celebrate all of our seniors in church. And otherwise, you guys are awesome. Have a great week in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.